Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another evening, another Thursday evening of the Universal Healer Hour, the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. This is Gregory, your genial and sometimes affable and cordial host, welcoming you once again for a conversation this evening about one of the topics in which I've been quite interested in some time, and perhaps you have been as well. But I always like to begin by explaining a bit about the actual sponsor of the program. That's called the Light Giver International Association, of which I'm the founder and the chair. And I always like to remind listeners to remind you of the fact that the Light Giver International Association has actually established a website, which is charged with an extraordinary amount of divine healing energy, which is not directly related to us personally, but which we believe and understand it was empowered and charged by higher beings, archangels, ascended masters, and whoever else is up there who is godly and good. So thank you for being on the call. And tonight what I wanted to spend some time sharing was insights, perhaps by way of actually a live dictation concerned with the topic of enlightenment. At least I know I sent out some notices and posted something which said that that would be the topic tonight. Now, one of the reasons why I think it's important to put the issue of enlightenment on the table is that for centuries, there have been many of us who have found ourselves glorified and somewhat enchanted by those individuals who either claim to be enlightened or whom we believe were enlightened, keeping my verb subject to agreement and alignment. So let's pause for a moment and give some attention to who are the people who we think are enlightened? Why do we think they're enlightened? And secondly, why is their state of enlightenment important to us? Well, in the first place, in the presence of an individual who is enlightened, quite often not only do we feel some degree of divine energy and illumination, but we find ourselves being fascinated and intrigued by the ideas and perspectives that they share, which point almost to a higher or even more divine reality than that with which most of us are, shall we say, surrounded. So when they talk, there are these words and ideas that come out about the nature of heaven and heavenly consciousness and the structure and architecture of worlds to which we have yet to gain admittance. And the irony of it is that not only do their words attract and charm us, but the irony is that in fact for many of us, the glory of what they describe creates an even greater distance. One would like to think that by describing or hearing about the architecture of the heavenly world, that it would draw us more deeply into it. But for many of us, as I talked about last week, it confers upon many people a feeling of unworthiness. Last week I talked about the trembling at the gates of heaven. The individuals say to themselves, oh, I could never do that. I will never be pure enough or clear enough to be admitted into the kingdom of heaven. I'm trembling at the gates of heaven. That individual is enlightened. Now, I don't know how he came to be enlightened, but lo and behold, he or she is enlightened, and I could never do that. Woe is me. And, of course, that particular perception is facilitated, quite frankly, in some cases, by the architecture of the very and the structure of the very spurious hierarchies to which individuals belong or aspire. So let's say that there's 100,000 people in an organization, even 10,000. At the tippy-tippy top of the organization, there's this one individual who is the enlightened one, the guru, the sadguru, the mahanta, the mahatma, who is the individual who is the purveyor of divine wisdom. So there's 10,000 people, we'll say, and there's one person who is at the top of the pyramid. And then, lo and behold, at some point, that person just moves on, passes on, translates, you choose the process. Then he chooses or she chooses a successor to take on the responsibility of being at the top of the pyramid. Now, doesn't that validate itself, the idea that enlightenment is something that is solely unique to perhaps a single individual, and those other 9,999 people in the 10,000 or the 999,999 in the 100,000 group, that they all are unworthy, and enlightenment is not something that can be theirs. Now, one of the stories about enlightenment, which some of you may know, is one that relates to a world-famous German, whom we all know, the writer of New Earth. And he had the experience one night of feeling extremely unworthy. In fact, he was suicidal. And he went to bed with the following thought. And the thought was, I can't stand myself anymore. I can't stand myself anymore. And so he had the thought, and then he said to himself, just as he was falling asleep, if I can't stand myself anymore, then who is I? Or who is I? Who am I? And who is myself that can't stand myself anymore? So he went to sleep, and he woke up the next morning, and he was enlightened. Eckhart Tolle, that name probably is very familiar to you. That's the story of Eckhart Tolle. So now, he found himself in a completely high state of consciousness. He heard the birds singing, the sun was shining, and he truly felt the glory of God. He had become enlightened. And so for the next 2 years, in that wondrous glow of enlightenment, we'll talk about what the actual experience of enlightenment is, he spent his time on a park bench. And people would come by and talk to him and ask him questions, and he would share his wisdom with them. and they would leave feeling happy and joyous. And before you know it, discussion groups are formed by him or with him. And now today there are people who follow him all around the world, thinking that somehow by hearing him speak, the same consciousness that was bestowed upon him that gave him the divine wisdom and knowledge which he now evidently or obviously possesses would somehow be passed on to them. Now, that's not the way Gregory would handle it. And of course, I'm Gregory. I would sit with him and say, could you tell me a couple of times again, now exactly what were you thinking before you fell asleep? Because clearly something happened for him while he was in that state of being asleep. And let me describe to you what I think happened to him. That what happened to him is that some great being, could have been an archangel, could have been Jesus or God himself, essentially lifted him into a state of clarity and shook him away from all of his feelings of self-doubt and established him in that divine center where enlightenment is the greatest gift that one can receive. Now, the point I want to make here is, and I want it to be understood with regards to enlightenment. Enlightenment is not necessarily something that one can acquire on one's own. It can't be gained by reading all kinds of books, except to the extent that the book may open you a bit more and make you a bit more receptive. Enlightenment in every case is truly a gift that comes from something higher than just ourselves. Now, in some works, there's something is spoken of as initiations. And then there's Shaktipats and Dikshas. And all of those are little tastes. They're just tiny little tastes of this higher state, of this God state, of this purity, of this clarity that is truly available. And they are no more truly the gifts of enlightenment than little cups of water taking from the side of the ocean or the ocean itself. Now understand me that we get these tastes that are given to us to give us a sense, you might say, of the flavor of the ocean of consciousness. And in those moments, they're enlightened moments. There are moments when someone might come to you and raise a question. And then in that moment, you'll say, aha, and you'll get a viewpoint. And you'll understand, and you'll share it. And then it will be gone. And the rest of the time, life goes on. The difference between moments of enlightenment and being enlightened means that the individual who is truly enlightened spends most of his or her time in that state. Even though if you and I look at them, they might be going through the Safeway, pushing a cart, going through the Dollar Store. You might see someone move in and take their parking place, and they might say, now why did that person do that? But inwardly, they are in the enlightened state. Now, let me describe to you, and I hope this doesn't create distance between us, what the inner architecture of the enlightened state is. The first thing is that in a state of pure enlightenment, the individual, you are so completely aware of being filled with and aligned with what could be called the God force, Holy Spirit. You understand there's no separation between you and it. You and it are one. And looking out into the world, it becomes very clear to you that everyone else is, to an extent, part and parcel of that divine force. That everyone, it becomes clear to you, in their own way, is an expression of God. Now, this doesn't mean that you're going around looking at people or pinching them and saying, guess what? You're really part of God. I see it. I got it. Oh, no. It simply means that there is an eternal peace in which you live, and you know that everybody is exactly where they're supposed to be. They are where they're supposed to be. And there'll be moments when they're uncomfortable, discomfited, upset, but they're where they're supposed to be. And that in a sense that all are players, actors in this great drama called life, and that our responsibility in life as individuals, as human beings, is simply to go through life as it is, to give love, to give support, to give friendship, to give compassion, without making a big deal. And when we come to a point that it's necessary to make choices, then our effort is generally to make the choice for the greater good, at least in that moment. And sometimes we'll make choices, and they won't be the best choices. But underneath that, there is the complete awareness of being centered in God. Now, that's where it begins. But let's go back to Eckhart Tolle and the gift that he was given. And that's important, a gift that he was given. So in order to experience enlightenment, what has to happen is an individual who's vested with the capacity to share the gift of enlightenment merely has to make that available. Now, let me repeat that. The individual who is gifted with the blessing of enlightenment and who has and is endowed to be able to share that gift simply needs to make it available. Now, that sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Well, it's not that simple if the individual with whom the gift is shared is not prepared to accept the gift. Understand me, that it is one thing, see, for someone like myself to say, now I'm going to share with you the gift of enlightenment. But if you yourself are not equipped or prepared for it, then it will be like really pouring water on an umbrella, that you're not equipped to accept it. And that's no criticism. It simply means that your attention is overinvested, as it is, into the external world, into the problems of the world, into the emotional aspects of the world, into the troubles and traumas, into the travail, into the trials and tribulations. And at that moment that the gift is given to you, you absolutely possess the inability to accept the gift. And there's nothing wrong with that. It simply means that your priority is not one in which enlightenment is part and parcel of what you can include in your operating agendas. Now, this is why the Source Nation process is so important. This is why Source Nation is so important. Because the very process of Source Nation is designed to shift your attention from those things that could be, and in some cases are, spiritual blockages. And what is a spiritual blockage? It simply is that thing, attitude, or experience that is in the way of your seeing or accepting your true spiritual identity. And accepting your true spiritual identity has to occur before you can accept the gift of enlightenment. Understand. So the Source Nation process and what is embedded in that website is designed to, if you're ready to be free of them, to help you be free of any contract or agreement that's interfering with your spiritual realization and understanding, to let you be free of any inhibiting beliefs or beliefs that create inhibiting beliefs, to let you be free of any connections, the residue from negative connections from anyone that you may know or be in some way involved with, and then to remove from your energy field any negative thought forms, aliens and beings, entities that likewise are interfering with your spiritual development. And then lastly, to remove from you, if that's your wish and request, any and all dark energies from the past lives that are intruding. You see? So these are all the things that need to occur. And when you get on the website, they occur to the extent they can instantly. The website, of course, is lightgivers.org that prepare you then for the experience of ascension. So if you haven't had an opportunity to get on the website, if you haven't had an opportunity to actually experience Source and Nation, then I would strongly suggest that you do. That would be my strong suggestion. So now, there are many of us who, as we live our lives, we will accept the others as our main reference points. And that comes from, of course, coming up in families where we have brothers and sisters and parents and cousins and aunts and people down the street, across the street, people down the valley, people up on the hill, and so forth. And quite often, they provide such reference points that it's hard for us to accept our own internal freedom. It's hard for us to be in a state of free, I don't want to say free thinking, because enlightenment is actually outside of that. So the second part, I would say, of enlightenment, when I've talked about the internal aspects of it, being completely centered, shall we say, in a God force, a Holy Spirit. The second part of that, which is even more challenging, and of course I'm facing that challenge now, is how or why do you talk about it? The how, of course, depends on the individual and the particular social or spiritual context in which they are operating. The why has to do with the fact that quite often when the enlightenment state is reached, one feels a spiritual obligation to share enough information to help others realize that the gift is available. The problem I think that I have with that is most individuals who talk about enlightenment actually talk about it as if it's something that they have earned. Now, to the extent that they have prepared themselves to be open, to the extent they've gone through their own version of the Source Nation process, to that extent, there is some earning. But there's so many people who have done that level of preparation who have not received the gift for whatever reason. And I think, personally, that the emphasis on the gifting part of enlightenment or higher state or even ascension is underemphasized. Now, don't you notice that when you think about enlightenment as a gift which is given to you, which you received, not because you're particularly worthy, but you received from some higher being as a gift, then doesn't that change this whole, I will pray until I pass out, I will keep doing spiritual exercises, I will walk across burning coals, that it takes away all of the labor that one feels, that many people feel they have to do in order to receive it? Oh, sure, it is important to do spiritual exercises, to do your disciplines, to do your prayers. But do not think that just because they've been done that the gift will be given to you of enlightenment. Now, in many cases, the gift is given, because the individual is going to do work on behalf of the guru, the satguru, the master, the teacher, or the spiritual organization. But what's exciting in this time is that the higher beings have decided that the gift that is given of enlightenment no longer needs to be tied to some organizational apparatus. So you don't have to belong to an organization. You don't have to be my student. You don't have to be a chela. You don't have to be a follower. You don't have to spend years and years anymore in voluntary spiritual servitude, or voluntary spiritual servitude, as the case may be. Instead, simply because your attention is primarily on God and on your personal divinity, it then makes you a candidate for enlightenment. The only other requirement simply is you'll want to be fortunate enough to recognize or be recognized by someone who is so vested with that capacity to share the gift of enlightenment that the gift can be given. And this is why the Ascension of the Light Giver program has come out, simply because the archangels do not have the, shall we say, the structure to meet with, consult with, and support all the individuals on the planet who may or may not be eligible or available to receive the gift. So they essentially have mandated the organizational, the structure of the Light Giver program, which is aimed at establishing what we're calling Ascension Masters as simply the vehicle by which to share the enlightened experience with others. And more importantly, once sharing it, to permanently establish you in that state. So having said that, then, what I will do is, with those of you who are listening now, and also those of you who have been wise enough, I'll say, to listen to the recording of this talk, just take a moment and ask you to allow yourself, and you may just do it by a declaration, just declare at this moment that you have now completed solely and completely the ascension process. And that you fully and completely accept ascension as your birthright. And that is, if you're a Zen Buddhist, then I guess the void is what you accept as your birthright. If you're in some others, it might be Sartori, it might be Nirvana, it might be Jhana Mukti. If you're Christian, then the Kingdom of Heaven is your birthright. The Kingdom of Heaven is within. It is your birthright. So just take a moment and accept your birthright in those states. And now the gift I'll share with you is the gift of enlightenment. Now what you may notice in this moment is a sort of shift. It really is a shift in the centering of your personal reality. That not only do you become aware of the limitless of your consciousness, the recentering of your being, but your very perspective on life now has undergone a shift. You're no longer the same person you were when you began this call. You may notice a little tightening. Perhaps in your head, you may notice this light tingle. You may notice more light in your environment. You may notice that your viewpoint has suddenly widened and that there's a greater peace now that pervades who you are, that you no longer feel the limitations of life. To say you're expanded understates the magnificence of your enlightenment. And this is where you are permanently. This is who you are. And all you need to do to maintain it is continue your spiritual practices, to do your prayers regularly, not only prayers in groups, but quietly and privately, to continue to do your walks, to continue to do your Tai Chi, to do whatever it is that spiritually uplifts you. And now what I'm doing is asking that they're allowing as a gift that the enlightenment that you're feeling now spread throughout your entire being, down through your fingers, down through your feet, your entire body. Let every cell of your body experience enlightenment. Let's go down to the atomic level. So you're now fully enlightened. And that's a gift for you just by being present in this moment, whether it's live, and there are several of you alive, or whether it's listening to the recording. Welcome to my world. I see we have a couple of people who are on the call, but I don't see anyone asking, wanting to chat some. So let's see. I think I see a familiar telephone number. Let's just see what her experience was. Susan, is that you?
It certainly is.
Yeah, well, I thought I would open your mic, and I always like to ask you, how was that experience for you, my dear?
Very nice.
Very nice, very nice. Well, that's good.
I love the energies.
Uh-huh. So what did you notice, if anything, during the enlightening experience?
I noticed a lot of white light around me and energy coming from my chakras in general. A lot of energy.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Well, I'm certainly glad you're on the call. And so it's a certainly interesting experience to be able to have the blessing. And the thing is, I've been a little frustrated, just a little bit disappointed that we've not been able to give as many people as this work is designed to serve the kind of gifts that the archangels are wanting, you know, wanting them to have.
Yes, I already knew that.
Yeah, I'm a person not really looking for groups. I just love to get this out to people so they can pass it on. Ian Gardner. Go ahead, dear.
I have told several acquaintances about your show and have tried to encourage listening of it. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, what I would like for you to do, you certainly are welcome to go ahead and just walk them through the Source of Nation process. That's the part. As a matter of fact, Ian Gardner.
I thought about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ian Gardner says, you know, it's like it's a spiritual virus. So the whole idea is that, you know, you have the gift now, and the whole protocol is right on that website, and you're certainly welcome to sit down with somebody, and you are endowed. You have the endowment to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So just by being, you know, in this kind of contact or communication, you certainly are welcome to share that
yes.
with whoever.
The last show that we did, actually, I think it was Interfaith Services that we were talking with Lynn.
Yes.
And I had a deja vu. My spirits were so happy. I don't think you could tell, but I wasn't crying, but spirit had tears just pouring out of my face.
Oh, great.
It was just joy, you know. It was. And So it was very nice, very interesting, the energies and talking with Lynn and sharing thoughts on things was great.
That was great fun.
Mm-hmm. Was very enjoyable and interesting. Yes.
Well, I'm going to, I've decided I'm going to shorten this show a bit. And let's see, it looks like I've gone about 36 minutes. So we'll go probably about another 10 minutes, and then that'll be long enough. I've make you work so hard on these shows anyway.
Oh, dear.
Let's see. I just want to check something here real quick. Hang on a second. Don't go anywhere. Hello, caller 678. I don't know if you have any comments, anything you want to share.
Hey, Greg, it's Ernest.
Hey, Ernest, so are you at work tonight?
I'm headed to work, actually. I've been trying to catch the show a lot of times. I miss it because I'm trying to get to work, but
I understand.
Fortunate enough to catch you tonight.
Yeah, well, I don't want to put too much of that enlightenment experience on you because you might be running off the road, huh?
Yeah. I have a little trouble focusing, but I'm all right.
Yeah, okay. Well, good, good. I just thought I'd just check in with you, see who that number 678 was. So, look, drive safely, sir.
All right.
Okay, Susan, I just want to thank you once again for being a loyal, faithful listener. And I appreciate all of your comments and insights. Is there any wisdom that you want to share before we get off the line here?
Just that the listeners out there don't know what they're missing. Including the ones that the churchgoers and that, not just psychics or people interested in that kind of thing, but the ones who are truly following Jesus and wanting to awaken, they're missing out on the show because the energies are there and they need to listen in or able to ask questions, at least try to find out what's going on with the show and different things coming up, you know.
Well, thank you for your endorsement, and I just appreciate your calling in. And I know that Evangelist Patricia appreciates your listening to her show, too, as well.
Yes, I do, and I listen to the Brilliance Hour. I have been for a while, and as a matter of fact, I talked to the ladies Tuesday night.
Okay.
And they enjoyed me, my conversations with them. It was interesting.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
On stress, different types of stress.
Yeah, that's what Lynn was talking
about. You know what that
about.
Is.
Yeah, I've seen some of that, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, my hope is that the show goes on regardless of who's listening, but because some people will eventually go into the archives and listen to your shows and maybe try to get into the Light Givers and have more understanding on what's going on in the spiritual world.
Yeah, you never really know. So,
no, you never
again,
do.
I just want to thank you for calling in, and what I'm going to do is play my thing. You know, as a matter of fact, the tune, I don't know if you know it, it's called Grazing in the Grass, and it's by Hugh Masekela, and I've decided that when I play it, I'm thinking it's called Gazing at God. instead of Grazing the Grass. So what we'll do now is go ahead and play a little bit of that, and I want to thank you once again for being on the show.
Well, thank you. You take care.
Thank you. been listening to the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour with Gregory, and thank you for listening.